All right, so it's good to be back with you. So we lost an hour, right? Or gained an hour. Okay, so we fall back, right? So we actually gained an hour. I actually gained two. Y'all didn't know that, but I went to Israel, and on the when I got there, we were 7 hours ahead, okay, from our time here. On the 27th, we went back an hour, so we were only 6 hours ahead, right? That was kind of odd, because then I came back here, and then I had to do it all over again this morning. So I was all messed up. But, you know, the way I look at it is I get another hour to preach this morning. No? Okay, all right, I understand. You know, I was gone last week, too, but Hannah did a great job. I was able to listen to that. Actually, while I was in Israel, somebody sent a video over, and I was able to watch that. So it's just great to be able to go to the Holy Lands and just see all kinds of sights and just learn from other pastors as well, learn from people that's there on the ground that helped dig a lot of the sites, even with some of our tour guides, which was really amazing. Over there, if you ever go, there's different types of sites. There's A, B, and C sites, okay? So C sites, we'll start there. C sites is basically what I like to call people just want to have a piece of the pie. They just wanted to make up some stories and say, well, this is where such and such happened. Those are C sites. My tour guide said, we're not going to any of those. B sites is where there's evidence that it's there, that things happened in this certain place, but there's some that is not, like, definite. And so example of that is the Garden Tomb. And we were able to go to the Garden Tomb, and guess what? The tomb is empty. Praise Jesus, right? We were able to have communion there, so that was just a great experience. But that is considered a B site because they said that there's not a positive guarantee that that was the actual tomb that Jesus was buried in. But they say that it's within a half a mile from that because they knew where Golgotha was. And so based on that, they knew that it was within that area. But majority of the sites that we saw were A sites, and that is where there is evidence for it, proven evidence for it. And so that's where we spent majority of our time. And it was just so good to experience that and to learn and grow. And God showed up, and it's going to take me months to even years to unpack what I experienced. But God was faithful, and he met us there for sure. And so I thank you so much for that. Thank you for the encouragement, the prayers. And I did post some pictures online, and some people commented and things like that. So it was good to be able to share that with you as well. And I'm sure I'll be sharing in the future of different things that I saw there too. But let's pause and let's pray. God, we thank you, God, for all that you have done in and through us even this morning already. God, we thank you that your Spirit is in our midst. And God, I just come before you right now, God, just asking that you would just fill me with your presence, God, that your word would dwell deep in my very soul, and God, that I would get out of the way and just be your ambassador to communicate your truth this morning. And God, I pray for everybody that's here this morning, and even those that might listen to this sermon later, God, I pray that you would just change hearts today. It's in Jesus' name, amen. So today we're starting a new series called The Blessed Life, and many of us maybe even see ourselves as blessed. And then maybe some of you are like, I don't have that blessing. I have seen all kinds of places. I've been overseas. I even went to Israel this past week, you know, and I saw how life was there. Some of the worst streets and conditions and filth I saw was actually in Israel. But then I've also been to Uganda and Haiti and other places. We are a blessed nation. We are a blessed nation. Let's not take that for granted. We are blessed. But we are blessed by God more so than we are by even our leaders. But we need to turn to God this morning and realize how blessed we are And maybe you are saying that you aren't blessed. Well, I hope that you turn to God the Father this morning and that you become blessed. Because really, it's how we engage our God the Father determines how blessed we are ultimately. It's not necessarily, you know, what kind of house we live in or what kind of car we drive or how much money is in our bank determining how blessed we are. I've been to Haiti. I've seen how people are living on a dollar a day, sometimes $2 a day if you were considered rich in that community, but yet they were blessed because they didn't lack joy. Where many of us in America, we lack joy a lot of times. And so this morning, I want to share something with you that I believe the devil doesn't want you to hear. Seriously, I think that he wants you to tune me out right now. I'm about to mention a word that we're going to spend 4 weeks talking about. And I believe once you hear that, it'll determine if you hear me or you don't. And I want you to know that Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy you, and he hasn't stopped. And so I'm going to talk about what we're going to spend 4 weeks talking about that, and that is money. 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 It's a hard one. Actually, I've talked to people, and they're like, I just can't stand when preachers preach on money, right? Or this church, they talk about is money. Well, I don't know about you, but when I look in the news and I see what's going on in our day-to-day time, I realize that, hey, really, we need to talk about money a lot more because there's a lot of greed that's out there. There's a lot of manipulation that is used with a dollar. And so we have to address that. Jesus Christ addressed money and how we are to handle money. And so for the next 4 weeks, that is exactly what we're going to do. And so I encourage you, do not tune me out, even though I believe that the spirit of the devil does not want you to hear it. But I believe the Spirit of God wants to change your life. And so I'll start with this, and this is what I said many weeks ago when I talked about money for a very short time. I said, I don't want anything from you, but I want something for you. And I'm still saying that today. I'm not up here preaching because the preacher wants more money. That is not why I'm talking about this. I'm talking about this because I believe that God's blessing is for you. And many of us miss out on our blessing because of how we handle our money. And so today we'll be in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. Matthew 6, this is Jesus teaching. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. This is the Sermon on the Mount. I was privileged to be able to go and visit that location where you look and you see the Sea of Galilee, and there's a beautiful hill, and he's sitting and talking to his disciples and giving what is known as the most famous sermon ever given. And so here we're in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will devote to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. I have seen God's blessing on my life multiple times in our marriage, multiple times in my upbringing. I told you, you know, my parents were divorced and my mom was left to raise me on a very small income. My dad wasn't really in the picture a whole lot until my stepfather came into my life. And he got saved, and my mom started following the Lord as well. And they began to give generously, to tithe, because of what God had commanded. And they instilled in me how to manage my money, not by American way, not by the way that the bank system even teaches you, but by God's standard, how to manage my money. And so going into our marriage, we were challenged, like any young married couple was challenged with where to give your money, where to invest your money, how to save your money, all these different things. And going on into our marriage, God has been faithful because I believe that we have given him our whole life, even our money. I called my CPA, who's a Christian. He's a CPA in Lexington, North Carolina. And we've been using him for a long time, all of our married life, but most of my life, even with my parents, using him as well. So I called him up. I said, "Hey, I'm preaching on money." He said, "Oh, good luck." I said, "But I would love to get your professional opinion. You know, you do all kinds of, you know, taxes for all kinds of people, Christian and non-Christian, rich, poor, you do it, you know, so I want your perspective. Do you see those who give to the church, who actually honor the tithe, who actually give above and beyond that as well, do you see that God has blessed them?" He said, "Absolutely, without a doubt, I see that." I said, "Okay, all right. Do you have any other wisdom?" He said, "Yeah, I do." He said, 80% of those who tithe don't do it because of a tax refund. We're in a day where there is attack on our religious liberty. There is attack on the church and us being tax exempt and all different kinds of things. And, you know, we're headed to the day where the church might not be tax exempt anymore. I think it's okay. I don't want that, of course not. But I think it's okay because I believe that people will rise up and they will give because God commanded them to give, not just because they want to write it off on their taxes. But here's the thing. When he said that to me, and he said that 80% of those who give the tithe do so because it doesn't matter if they're getting it back on their taxes. He said 80% of them actually don't get it back on their taxes. They can't even claim it. You know what that means? It's because God has blessed them. God is blessing them for being faithful. Being faithful. He said, and I'm not talking about just rich people. So I'm talking about, you know, people that are just average, everyday people. God blesses them. And so, you know, I wanted to share that with you because I believe that how you invest, how you give, determines where your heart is. It says this, that we are to store up treasures in heaven. It didn't say to store up treasures on earth. It said to store up treasures in heaven. This is what I want for you. What I want for you is the blessing that God gives when you are faithful to the tithe. The blessing that God gives whenever you are a generous and cheerful giver. I'm not talking about riches. I have seen people that are rich and they don't honor the tithe, but they are miserable. But I've also seen poor people who also don't honor the tithe and they are miserable. But I've also seen the other alternative too, rich and poor who honor the tithe and are cheerful givers and they are blessed. They are blessed with so much joy, peace, a purpose, happiness, stability, all different kinds of things because they are honoring God with everything. With not just lip service, not just good deeds, but also with their money, how they invest their time, their talents, and even their treasures. It says this, it says, your heart always goes where you put God's money. Where you store up your treasures, that is where your heart will be also. We talked about this before, that the reality is that it's all God's money. Not just the little tenth that he asked from you. And we said this, that whose it is will determine what you do with it. I don't know if you remember that message, but I said that whose it is will determine what you do with it. Where you give, how you handle your money, how you invest in your treasures will determine where your heart is. John D. Rockefeller, one of the most wealthiest men who ever lived, after he died, someone went to his accountant and he said, how much did he have? How much did he leave, rather? The reply was pretty classic. He said, he left all of it. He left all of it. He can't take it with him. You can't take it with you. I've never seen a U-Haul. Well, let me rephrase that. I saw a picture. Somebody did send this to me. A picture of a U-Haul being pulled by a hearse. I used to always say, I've never seen a hearse being with a U-Haul behind it. And then somebody, they were like, yeah, I'm going to mess up that illustration. I'm going to send you that picture. But does it make sense? No, it doesn't. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. When we honor God with our money, and we become a cheerful giver, when we are generous because of what Christ did for us, we come to an understanding that we can't take it with us, but we can purposely invest in the kingdom of God. And we can go forward with our money. Our money, our resources might not be able to be taken with us, but how we invest it here on this earth now will determine us storing up treasures in heaven. John Wesley, one of person that founded our Wesleyan Church, John Wesley, he toured this vast estate with this proud plantation owner. They rode their horses for hours and hours. They saw all kinds of the man's property, but it was really just a very small percentage of the property, though, that he saw. At the end of the day, they sat down for dinner, and the plantation owner, he eagerly asked, well, Mr. Wesley, what do you think? Wesley responded, I think you're going to have a really hard time leaving this. I think you're going to have a really hard time leaving this. Do we invest our money? Do we handle our money and our resources so that it is a challenge for us to leave it behind? Or do we live in such a way that, hey, I'm going to heaven and I can't take it with me, but boy, I can send people on and be blessed by it and for them to experience heaven because of it as well, or at least have the opportunity to experience it. In Matthew 19:24, it says this, and again I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, it's not saying that rich people cannot enter heaven. It is not saying that. It's saying that it's very hard. When I was in Israel, I saw a camel. Had a friend actually ride a camel. Camels are very large. Like, I can reach up and maybe touch the top of the camel's head. Like, it would take me a lot to actually jump up and get on a camel. Most time when you see people getting on a camel, they have to get all the way down and then they jump on the camel, right? But then you take and you look and, you know, the little eye of a needle, like, have you ever spent time trying to thread the eye of a needle? Wow. Like, it is almost impossible. And, like, you're like, Jesus, please help me. Like, just get through that, right? Can you imagine a camel trying to go through the eye of a needle? That is what God is saying. That is very challenging with our riches. When we get so, comfortable with our riches, and the way that we handle our money, we can get so complacent with it even, right? That it is challenging for someone to enter the kingdom of God because of the way that they deal with their money. Because money can become our idol. Money can capture our heart. And so this morning I encourage you to investigate. Investigate your heart. Where is your heart? In verse 24, it says that you cannot serve God and money. What that is a word called mammon. Mammon is this, the riches or wealth regarded as evil influence or false object of worship and devotion. See, this word is, it comes from the Babylonians. It derives from them who are selfish. If you go and you read about Babylon and how selfish they were and prideful they were and greedy they were, this is where they pull this word from. The word mammon means the love of money. And Jesus is saying and stating that it is impossible to serve both at the same time. You either serve God or you serve mammon. And see, what I want you to hear today is that money isn't evil. You might have heard that. A preacher might have said that. But money isn't inherently evil. It is the love of money. Actually, the most frequently misquoted verses in all the Bible is this, 1 Timothy 6, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. That's mammon. Not just money is the root of all evil. That's misquoting it. It's the love of money, or the worship of money, is the root of all evil. Look around. You can see people making idols out of money and wealth and riches. And it can easily find root in all kinds of evilness if we put the love of money over the love of our God. And so money can be used for good, but it also can be used for bad. Money can be used for righteousness or even unrighteousness. Money can be used for temporary, or it can also be used for eternal purposes. See, money isn't bad. It's the love of money. The love of money. Mammon. See, we are blessed. We are blessed, especially here in America. But there is also a spirit of mammon, a spirit of mammon in our day. And it's a love of money. And the spirit of mammon says this: we don't need God. We're self-sufficient. I got all this money. Why do I need God? That is what is being said in our day and age. And maybe it's not being said verbally, but you can see it with their actions. You see, mammon says to buy and sell, but God says to sow and reap. Mammon says to cheat and steal, but God says to give and receive. But more than anything, mammon wants to rule your life. Mammon wants to be your king and not God your king. Mammon says to take, God says to give. Mammon is selfish, but God is generous. You see, Jesus is not telling us to hate money. He's saying that we need to love God and we need to hate the love of money. The love of money brings about greediness and selfishness and lying and deceiving. And this spirit is really an antichrist-like spirit that operates through money worship. And there is a lot of people that they follow money. And that's the reality is you can look and you can follow the money. Look at politics. The evilness in politics follow the money. We've talked about this through Love Life, that there's money in abortion. Follow the money. You will find the mammon. The love of money is the root of all evil. And there is people that is loving money more than they love God the Father who blesses abundantly. See, mammon is a false god. Mammon says you don't need God. All you need is money. See, mammon is a spirit that can rest on money. See, we can pull out money, and you can read, "In God we trust." But really, it doesn't matter what is on that money. It doesn't matter if it's one of our president's names on it and their faces on it, or if it's Caesar's name on it. How we use the money, how we worship money, determines what we do with it. May we not worship our money, but may we worship God, who blesses us with money and jobs and resources, and He gives to us abundantly. See, money that is not surrendered to God has the spirit of mammon on it. And it promises things like happiness. It promises things like joy. It promises things like peace. But none of it will ever be. Because mammon, the love of money, will never give you any of those things. It will never give you joy. It will never give you peace. It will never give you happiness. But what it will give you is a desire for wanting more and more and more of it. And that is what sin is. Sin wants you to get more and more of it. Satan wants you to come, "Hey, taste and see how artificially good it is," right? Where the Spirit of God says, "No, truly come and taste and see how good it is." Because God gives, and He gives us grace, He gives us mercy, and He gives us blessing. See, money that is surrendered to God for His purpose has the Spirit of God on it. And that is why it can be multiplied and it can be blessed. And whenever it's surrendered to God, it can never be cursed. None of it can be cursed if it is surrendered to God. But look at your own life. Are you serving God or are you serving mammon? You can't serve both. It's not possible. You might think that you can serve God while you serve mammon, but it's not possible. And I believe that many in Eden are tricked by Satan to think that one can follow mammon. People say, "Well, if I can just win the lottery, I'll do this and I'll do that. If I win the lottery, I'll give this much to the church, and I'll give this much to my friends." And I'm going to tell you this, that will never happen, because it's the spirit of mammon on that desire. When we play the lottery, it's the spirit of mammon. It will never give you the riches that God wants to give you. If you look at Eden around here, there's more gambling joints that I've seen in a city than I've ever been to. They're all over the place. And people, everyone, rich, poor, play them. And they think that it's going to make them rich and wealthy. But whenever they're following the spirit of mammon, they will never have peace. If you go and you look and you research on those who win the lottery, look at them a year or two later. Are they full of peace? Are they full of joy? No, most of them are bankrupt. The stats are very high on how many go bankrupt because of it. It's because of the spirit of mammon that is on that money and on that desire. So I've seen people from all walks of life blowing money on the lottery, blowing money on credit card bills, blowing money on college debt, bad investment, you name it. That can also be ran by a love of money. And my desire is for you to put God first. When we put God first, even above our money, He will bless it. When we give the tithe as He commands, which is just the tenth, the first tenth, He will bless it. He will bless the rest of it. And when we are generous to go even above and beyond, because, you know, a lot of people argue with me and say, "Well, you can't really see a whole lot of places in the New Testament where the tithe is really honored." Yeah, you go, and we're here. was God say, when was Jesus say, whenever you look at a woman lustfully, right? What does he say about that? You commit sin in your heart. It's not just, you know, sleeping with a woman that causes adultery. It is going further in, and even just the way that we look at it. When Jesus, you know, talks about things, you know, especially according to the law, he goes even further with it, deeper with it. He's saying, yeah, I come to fulfill the law, right? And so that tenth is in it, and the tenth is in the New Testament, but really it's even more than that. It's generous giver, it's cheerful giver, it's going above and beyond. You go to the early church, man, they were givers. They gave where no one had need in their community. And I believe that if the Church of Jesus Christ would rise up in America, we wouldn't have to do another fundraiser. I hate doing fundraisers. I can't stand them. But if I believe that if we would just be faithful with the tenth, just the tenth, man, we would be able to do so much. There wouldn't be need in our community because the church is being faithful with their tithe, and God is blessing them upon blessing, and then they're able to give and help out people, and people would experience the love of Jesus so much more. But yet we have to focus all our time and our energy to fundraise after fundraise. I'm tired of it. I know it's necessary for where we are right now, but man, I don't want us to be there for a long time. And I believe that it starts with addressing mammon in each and every one of us. How do you break the spirit of mammon? You put God first. Put God first. I challenge you to put God first. If I could, I would say, hey, put God first. If he doesn't bless you, I'd give it all back. But the reality is that's not my, that I'm not responsible to do that. God wants you to honor him. God wants you to honor him first and foremost. He wants you to be faithful with the first of your profits, the tenth of your profits. He wants you to be faithful and given cheerfully and given out of the abundance and the overflow. When we put God first, he will most definitely be a return on investment. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk deep on money. I mean, we're already kind of not even tiptoeing into it. I don't really do that with sermons anyway. I don't tiptoe into things. I just bring it out, say it how God wants us to live. But over the next few weeks, I believe that God is going to deal with your hearts. God is going to look deep into you, and you're going to feel the Holy Spirit convicting. And may all of us turn to God, not turn to mammon. And in 2 weeks, we're going to have some friends of mine from the Philippines come and share. And I hope that we can be cheerful. We can be cheerful givers. And I believe that one day, when we all get to heaven, we sing how great it is, right? We all get to heaven. What a beautiful place it will be. But I believe that people from across the globe are going to greet us. And they will say, I'm in the kingdom because your church gave and honored the tenth. I'm in the kingdom because you gave and supported missions. I'm in the kingdom because you poured into a ministry that shared the love of Jesus with me. And they will thank us for putting God first and investing in heavenly treasures instead of earthly treasures. That's what storing up treasures in heaven is about. When we store up treasures in heaven, it is putting God first and him using our resources to bless other people that I believe will be in heaven because of our faithfulness. Will we honor God with our money? Will we honor God with our everything? He's asking for it this morning. Will you honor God with your everything? Will you put Him first in your life? Or will you go like the world does and follow the spirit of mammon that leads you to all different kinds of evil? I hope that you won't do that. God, we want to give our all to you. Now, this is a tough subject. Now, we don't like to talk about money. But God, we know that you care so deeply about how we treat our money. God, may we not love it more than we love you. May we not turn to the spirit of mammon, but may we turn to your spirit. And may we honor you with our everything. And may you bless us so that we can bless other people in return.